Good morning, sir. Would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Ray Cruz Hernandez, 19065.
Thank you. Your principal, you have a word, you gave me courtesy this morning in reference to a broker room. I'm going to introduce the board members of the Connect hearing at this time. So on the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson, the Honorable Gail Inhouse, the Honorable Dr. C.P. White, who is the board chairman. And then all the way to the right is Honorable Louis Canales. My name is David Grimm. I'll be the hearing lead this morning. So I'm going to go some information with you this morning, sir. As we go through it, I'm going to check and make sure that we got it correct or close to right. If you hear something that you think is incorrect, please let me know and we'll talk about it, okay?
Okay.
All right, so we'll start out here. So you're 45 years old now, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to two concurrent life sentences for first-degree murder, which began November 2nd, 1993. You became parole eligible on April 1st, 2019, or you will be eligible on April 1st, 2019. You were sentenced to a 25-year flat sentence for armed robbery, which has expired. That was a long one, but part of the same offense. And you were certified this hearing for road parole after the discharge of Honduras on November 1st, 2018. It's your first time before our board. You were convicted by a jury of all three counts involved in this. Okay. So brief summary of what happened. It was on about October 25th, 1993, Mr. Fernando shot and killed the victim. Left the body in the trailer kitchen where the murder occurred. He and two co-conspirators and took property from the victim, being jewelry and that sort of thing. They disposed of the victim's car in the desert. So does that sound correct and a brief synopsis of the crime?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So we'll have a little bit more information here and then we'll get to find out some specifics about you. Okay, so you've had minimal disciplines that you've been in. You've had two major and two minor violations in the last 5 years. And your last one was a ticket for gambling on August 20th, 2018 with a murder of a minor.
Yes.
So what were you gambling about? Football games or?
No, I was supposed to be. I went to go see someone at the table and I got caught up in all that.
Okay. It seems like you've had some decent amount of programming, but I find your no support letters and no one in the gallery for you today. Also, you don't have any victims opposition letters or presence today, and they don't have anything from the Container County Attorney Bonds that was involved. So we didn't receive a progress report from your CO3 for today, so we don't have any information about a release plan. Do you have a release plan? If you were to be released, where would you go? What would you do?
Yes. If I was able to get released, I would go back home where I actually have my own home, and I would just go to work, you know, and that's with my family. But that's what I understand is when the CO3 talks to me about this, I told him, well, I need to notify my family to get my family involved so they can go at least to the hearing, and they never got back. All they gave me was a paper that gave me a date when I was supposed to see this. Because my family are retired already.
Okay, well, where is your home now?
It's in Eloy.
Where?
In Eloy.
Eloy. Okay. So you have a house down there?
Yes, something that my house and my grandma left me.
Okay. What a place to live. Well, you know that one thing, if you were to be released, they'll have to investigate where you would be going before you go there. So, you know, even in your own home, they have to check it out, make sure there's nobody there, that they don't, you know, you're not supposed to be associated with that kind of stuff. And it is good if your relatives can't come to the hearings and participate, if, you know, they can send in letters, anything like that, they just send to the board here, and that way it's all be included in the packet.
Is there some type of phone number or information or an address where my parents and my kids can go and see at this board as this is taking place?
Well, there is a website for the Board of Executive Clemency that has a calendar on it. I'm not sure how far out the calendar goes ahead of things, but this hearing had to be posted at least 24 hours in advance. So there's a day or two there that they can see it, but they could also contact the board and ask to be notified if the hearing comes up.
Okay.
And because we understand that sometimes you don't get a notification soon enough for you to be able to notify your family for them to be able to respond in time. So they can, if they want to be notified, they can contact the board's office and they can go in your packet they can even participate via telephone if that's what they want to do.
Okay. Yes, like I say, my family, they're retired and they don't know too much about, this kind of this stuff,
Okay.
They want to get involved.
Okay, well, that's why one thing, people don't always realize that they can write letters and be in the back of that way if something does come up. And they can't be here for a hearing, but at least something on record that they were supporting you. So, let's go back to the crime. This is your first time before the board, so my board members are familiar with you and your case. We don't discuss these cases with each other until we actually get in the hearing room. So this is the first time as a board that we're discussing the case. So one of the things we'd like to do is kind of get to know you a little better. So if you can, why don't you tell the board what was going on in your life, what was going on in your life and your mind, and what happened with this offense?
About my case, or my life?
Well, what was going on in your life back then when this happened? Were you running with a bad crowd, or what was going on that way? And then tell us about why, what happened when you killed this guy.
Ever since I've been a child, I've always struggled in life, I grew up like everybody else. I grew up real poor, and I grew up in a bad environment. Even to this day, if you used to see the place where I came from, I've had my trouble with, drinking and doing drugs and stuff like that, I'm gonna lie, I tried to straighten out my life at the time, and then the drugs just got the best of me. And it turned out to be this is what happened because of what I've done, and I know I've committed, I know what I've done, and I know that I can never give back, that person's family, that man's life back. but, I mean, there, yeah, there's not a day that I don't think about it. I mean, I think about it every day, you know. I know that I've done wrong, but, I mean, I mean, to be an honest man to man, I mean, I pray for him and for that man's family every night, you know. And like I say, it's hard, you know. I can't say it no other way. It's hard, and I have to live with that, you know. And I just wish that, you know, somehow that I could talk to, you know, his family, like, just so I know that, you know, I'm at peace with myself, you know. That's what I want, you know. I wouldn't mind if I was to stay here the rest of my life, as long as I know in my heart that they forgave me for what I've done, you know. I want peace with myself. I can say this, you know, as a person, you know, I'm not going to say that I was a good person all my life, and, you know, I mean, I've had my ups and downs in life, on the streets and in here, you know, and...
Let's go back to the crime. Why, he was a friend of yours, wasn't he, or an acquaintance, somebody you knew?
Yes.
Well, why did you decide to kill him?
It's more to it than people think, and I wanted to plead my case, and I wanted to tell the jury, but my lawyer wouldn't let me take a stand. People don't understand it. Me and him were friends, and we were involved in the same things, you know, drinking, getting high, but people didn't see that type. And I'm not going to sit here and say bad things about that man, because I want him to rest in peace. But we both were doing the same thing, you understand? And it's not like I'm the only one that was drinking that night or getting high that night. We were both doing that. And it had to do a little bit more. It was more of, because I understand he was married, but he was with my cousin at the same time. And people didn't see that, you know, and I can't explain it. And when she told me something, what he did, that's what drove me more to that, you know. And I'm not gonna, if my cousin, like she said she was with him, and he touched her in a certain way, then how am I supposed to feel about that, you know? I mean, I can't sit here and tell you a story that shows nothing in the courts, because I didn't have a chance to explain myself or say anything about what really happened. Well, nobody knows but me and him there, you know? I mean, I admit that I know what I did. It was wrong. But don't look at things in a certain way. You have to look at things my way, you know? I admit that I took wrong, that I killed that man's life. I understand that, and I'm living with that every day.
Okay, so he did something to your cousin, and
yes,
and that's how you took care of the situation.
Yes, but see, people didn't, and people know, and my family know that they knew that he was married, but yet he was going out every night with me, or every other night. We would go and drink, we would go and do coke or whatever. You know, but yeah, he would be like, well, let's go pick up your cousin. See, people don't understand these. People don't want to hear those things that I wanted to say, you know. But why? Because my lawyer at the time, he wouldn't let me take the stand. Because what came out of his mouth was, well, I said too much that I should have told him, you know, what happened. I'm like, well, I'm just trying to be truthful, you know, in a certain way. So I just left it at that.
Okay. So were you working at all at that time, or were you stealing money and stuff to support your drugs?
No, I was just off and on, work here or not, you know. But you understand it, I started doing more drugs when I started with him, that's when it really started. I started drinking more and partying more and getting high more. He was basically more of my supplier, is what he was, you know?
Okay, but I mean, how did you, I mean, did he just give you the drugs, or did you have to pay for them?
No, well, I had to pay for them. He gave me so much, and then he'll tell me, well, this is something you, and this is what I want in return. Okay.
All right, but so how did you, if you didn't work working all the time, how'd you get the money to pay for?
Well, he would, basically, he would front me. Did you understand what I'm saying?
Well, no, that's, you know, I asked you if he gave it to you, you said no, you had to pay for it, and you said you didn't want working all the time, so the question was, if you weren't working, where'd you get the money to pay him for it?
If, and I would end up selling drugs. You see what I'm saying? If he would give me, let's say, for instance, if he would give me an ounce of cocaine, right, and he would charge me $300, so I would have to sell $300 worth of cocaine, and the rest I would keep for myself.
Okay, so you were selling drugs to support your drug habit, okay.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and then when you decided you needed to kill him because he, what he did to your cousin, why'd you decide to take his property?
Because at that time I would say, well, I'm going to make it seem like a robbery. That's just the facts, you know?
Okay. So if the board were to decide to give you parole, release you to back into the community, what would you do? I know you say you go back down to your family, you know, to live and everything, but what would you do to support yourself and to move your life forward?
I'd probably go to, I'll work as a farm, a big old, they have a big old, like a farm, it's like an import and export company that they have there. I would go to work there with one of my cousins, or work with my brother in a mechanic shop. They would put me to work.
Okay. Let's see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
No.
No questions? Not really?
No, sir. I'm never going to have to stop, sir.
All right, sir. All right, sir. We're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion momentarily to make a determination. But before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think the board might need to know to make a decision. We just ask that you don't repeat all the information that we've already covered. So is there anything else you'd like to tell the board right now?
I would just like for you all to take a consideration that I'm not the same person that I was, you know. I grew up in here, and it's hard. And if you put yourself in my shoes, I mean, you understand, and I mean, it hurts, man. And I have to live with that, you know. And not only that, is, I mean, I have grown kids already. I want to be able to be there with, you know, with my kids and my grandkids now. But if not, then, you know, I understand it. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. The board will be going into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think that we're addressing you, but we won't be. But we ask you to stay on the phone, just remain silent, and once we've made a determination, I'll be back with you, okay?
Okay.
And for this non-discussion, that's an unfortunate case for Mr. Hernandez and the victim. He does sound like he would prefer to go back into society and go to work down in New York with his family in one capacity or another. But But I'm just not real convinced with Mr. Hernandez's telling of the story as to, you know, the reasons that it happened, what's going on in his life. A lot of people that grew up in bad homes and bad lives and very mistreated, that didn't go out and decide to murder somebody. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who found out that there were members of their family that were wronged by somebody else that didn't go out and murder anybody either. But from the information that I got, it seems like Mr. Hernandez basically planned on doing this, and they got to the victim's, I mean, it was his grandfather's house, but he was a trailer out behind, shot him, robbed him, took his car. And the magnitude of the crime within the I'm not real convinced that Mr. Hernandez is taking full ownership of this situation. But at this point in time, I don't see him as a good candidate for ease back in the community. As a public safety issue, I'm not convinced that he would go back out and possibly get involved with the same type of activities that led to this in the first place. But I'm going to listen to discussion from my fellow board member. Ms. Woodman?
Thank you, Mr. Neal. Just based on the circumstances of the crime as described in the pre-sentence report and the details, the fact that Mr. Hernandez took property of the victim, and I'm just not seeing him as a good candidate for parole at this time.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
I agree.
I agree as well.
Thank you. Okay, so based on all the information we've had today about this case and Mr. Hernandez, I am going to move to deny Weber Pro's home life wrongful discharge for Mr. Ray Hernandez, agency number 109065. Based on the day of time and ask for when you're set out.
Agree.
I'll second.
Second. Agree.
Okay, yeah, that's my motion. So we have second by Mr. Kinsler. I'm agreed by Dr. Ray, Mr. Jones, and Mr. Woodhouse. Okay, so the board has voted to deny parole after discharge of home arrest this time. And the reasons for that would be serious and violent offense of loss of human life, serious and deepened offense, trauma. And all of you were young at the time, but let's see. It seems that there was a little bit of international involved. And we don't have a release plan, so we just don't have a release plan that's been turned in. And no evidence of family or community support, unless there's something else in there that we would like adding to that. Okay, the board of votes denied you your parole, and you learned the reasons for the denial?
Yes.
Okay, it is commendable. You have seemed to have had some pretty good behavior while you're in there. Keep that up. Even if they're minor offenses, though, it better not get any even than to continue stopping. Well, we looked at how long it's been since your last disciplinary action, and that's considered in these hearings. continue programming, continue moving forward, and if you can get, even if it's just some letters from your family, if you can get acceptance into halfway house, that kind of information is very helpful. Well, we wish you the best luck, and in about a year, the Department of Corrections will certify you for another hearing, and we'll see you back here, okay?
Okay, thank you. You guys have a good day.
You too.